Recording live from the Hoban Law Group here in Denver, Colorado.
You're listening to the Hoban Minute. I'm your host, Eric Singular, and we are mixing things up here today in the studio. We are joined by three members of the Hoban Law Group team: Garrett Graff, Donnie Emmy, and Bob Hoban. Guys, you have all been working from home now for the last couple of months. I know you had a virtual retreat last week, and now things are beginning to regain some sense of normalcy. People are starting to come back to the office. That raises a lot of concerns. That raises a lot of considerations that you are all facing. And let's just jump in right there and get your sense on how things have been over the past few months. We've had both of you gentlemen, Donnie and Garrett, on the podcast already to talk about how you were impacted by coronavirus, how business has been impacted by coronavirus. But now we're back, at least in some capacity. Let's jump in and talk about what is top of mind right now as we return back into the office.
Thanks, Eric, and it's good to be here hanging out with you guys tonight. But at the end of the day, I hate to say it, and you almost feel guilty for saying it, but the last 2 months have been just quite great being at home with my two teenage children and my wife, and just, you know, just spending time at home where I'd otherwise be out traveling or, you know, working into the evening and otherwise. So it's been a really, really good thing for me in that regard. Furthermore, work has been good using technology to interface, Zoom calls, conference calls, having meaningful face-to-face interactions using technology has really just been just a pleasant surprise to me. Not that it couldn't be done, but that it would be as effective. And to your point, we had that retreat a couple of weeks ago with our firm. We had, what, Garrett, 42 to 50 lawyers at any given time on the call, running through our different practice groups and just talking about our capabilities and having panel discussions, sort of an internal conference. And it was really, really exciting and really something to see everybody in action.
Yeah, certainly. Having all these different professionals coming from all walks of life, geographical distance, and really being able to, you know, utilize technology in a very profound way. I think that that's something that's all front of mind to all of us, is that, you know, prior to this pandemic, I think many folks questioned the ability or the role of technology, at least to such a substantial degree, in the role of business and our lives on a regular basis. And in many respects, I think it's been quite a success in that, from that standpoint. You know, I look at this time as, you know, something of the gift of time, right? You know, having fewer commutes, spending more time with family, despite having to conquer the mute, unmute component with toddlers in the house.
Saw that coming.
Certainly I'm missing some live sports going on right now, but if that's the worst that we have to deal with, then I think as a society we can, you know, certainly succeed through this. But I think it certainly, you know, gives us time to pause and reflect, recalibrate, so to speak, and kind of look how we can retool ourselves both personally and professionally going forward. And that was the whole point of the retreat that we had, is, you know, basically taking the opportunity of this time of, you know, maximizing, you know, the potential of our resources, of, you know, ensuring that, you know, we're availing ourselves of all the different aspects of law, the unique issues going on out there. You know, I know, you know, personally from myself that, you know, I've seen a you know, reasonable change in terms of the focuses and priorities of clients and folks in the industries and whatnot. And so, you know, making sure that we're being attuned with that has been crucially important. So.
And sort of just seeing our team in action has been just remarkable. It really makes you stand back and just be so proud of the folks that we work amongst, like you said, Garrett, from different places, but just really, really successful in really high level areas of the law. And, you know, we're certainly proud to have them as a team. Donnie, how about you? You've got a house full yourself. What have you been doing to bide your time during this the quarantine?
You know, I understand that there's a lot of bad things going on, and economically there's problems, and there's a lot of people that are suffering health wise for me, I've been fortunate enough to have good health in my family, and I've been home with my three kids. I've been playing kindergarten teacher in some days, second grade teacher some days, preschool teacher other days. And it's reaffirmed, for one thing, for absolute certain, that I made the right choice when I switched from being a teacher major in college, because I don't have that salt. But one thing that it has also has done is allowed me to refocus energy at home, refocus energy into work, to identify things that maybe I missed as I went through the day-to-day grind, where I'm commuting to work, traveling to this place, meeting with this party, and it allows you to take a step back and refocus and say, hey, wait, where are the important things? And that transcends not only to your personal life, but it transcends to your professional life as well, because you're able to identify and look for things for clients, for help them adapt to this situation. And that's been really important. And I've enjoyed it. I'm really grateful to be here with you guys today. First time back in the office. So I feel lucky to be here. And I'm looking forward to life returning to normal. But I've enjoyed it. I've taken advantage of every opportunity that was there. And I hope you guys have as well.
Well, and there seems to be a theme here of recalibration, that we may be returning to some sense of normalcy. However, we're coming at a new world, and we have to adjust to a new world. And I'm interested in this. You know, nobody had any sense that this pandemic was really coming. And you guys are on the front lines of cannabis law. I'm interested if anything surprised you that you've seen in the last months. Maybe it's the cannabis being deemed an essential service. Maybe it's something to do with force majeure. But I'm just interested, what has surprised you during this pandemic as it relates to the cannabis industry, maybe as it relates to legal strategy or other law considerations in the space?
So let me take that to start. You know, one of the things that I've seen is cannabis becomes an essential business. And now, all of a sudden, our federal government is looking at it as an essential business. We have new law in working through our Congress right now related to allowing cannabis businesses into these federal funds for saving the companies. There is the Safe Banking Act is being looked at, and as part of this COVID-19 relief, to see that our federal government is now viewing cannabis as an essential business is something that I've really seen as a big impact.
You know, I think what's going to be really interesting with that, though, is, you know, are they looking at it as an essential business from, you know, purely an economic standpoint and economic relief, you know, through this pandemic, as opposed to holistically looking at it from a regulatory change standpoint?
Or as a medical, a vital medical component to our society. There's several aspects to it.
Well, absolutely, right? You know, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's a landmark, you know, progress, Donnie, that we see the Safe Banking Act being introduced and potentially being, you know, part and parcel to the stimulus relief funds that are, you know, forthcoming through Congress. But are we going to see the same sort of change legislatively in terms of a descheduling or rescheduling? You know, is this going to ultimately compel that? You know, the fact that this is an election year and that we've seen a number of state ballot initiatives or legislative changes that have been pushed off indefinitely because of this pandemic. So it's actually slowing down some of that legislative change in certain respects. So it's really going to be interesting, because I agree with you. I think the tides of societal acceptance and even the federal government's acceptance is changing. But what does that change actually mean is really going to be interesting to evaluate over the course of, you know, the coming months and years, because inevitably there are some governmental delays. You know, you talk about, you know, this idea of rescheduling marijuana or this idea of further regulating hemp, and all of these things have effectively just been stalled for the time being. And who knows if and when it becomes a priority relative to, you know, this pandemic and, you know, the economic crises that are related to it. I think there's going to be a lot to unpack there over the coming months and years.
I think what I may have seen that's the most surprising, perhaps, is not the ability for the industry to take a bunch of punches, both economically and from the public health impact as COVID comes at us, and be resilient, because it's shown to be resilient beginning during a recession. Let's not forget that. In 2009 to 2011, and still build itself up to be a regulated commercial environment, to operate as a regulated commercial environment. So the most remarkable thing I've seen was actually not a positive. I don't want to dwell on negative things, but it was the industry effectively appeared to take a punch in the gut and shut down for the first several weeks of this pandemic. Now, I'm not talking about marijuana dispensaries because we saw the essential designation. We've seen sales. We've seen facilities that are warehouses and the like that had to keep up and increase production. But it seemed like things stopped. They stalled. And understandably so, right? This is something none of us have ever seen before in our lives. And it was a tremendous shock. But it's only been in the last several weeks that we've seen this great momentum to come back and hopefully come back stronger than ever, because as we've talked about, business fundamentals matter right now. The stuff about, you know, creating something of value that can be a great asset in the future, it's important, but revenues, bottom line in terms of asset building and creating reasonable valuations, that's really what's coming at us. And it's coming at us as a return, like I said, to those fundamentals.
But isn't that, you know, it might be an initial negative, right? You know, that initial punch initially in the gut, right? But at the end of the day, I think that's ultimately a net positive. You sure. know, you think about any, you know, circumstance, you know, throughout history where, you know, there's been some sort of depression activity or economic upheaval like what we're talking about. And from that spurs actually great economic growth, great innovation. And, you know, I think, Eric, as you said, you know, this opportunity to recalibrate and, you know, look back to those fundamentals. What are the core businesses? You know, do you have too many product portfolios? Are you stretched, you know, far too thin for your resources across?
Are you trying to own and control an entire supply chain, for example?
You know, vertical integration when it's unnecessary and you're spanning, you know, every continent across the globe. It's these sorts of opportunities where everyone takes that breath, takes that pause. They, you know, simply, you know, sit back and recognize, okay, here's what we're good at. Here's our mission statement. Here's the functional reason why we exist. And how do we exploit that going forward rather than just simply being anything and everything to everyone?
Well, as things return to normal, what's going to be on a lot of business owners' minds, on the minds of a lot of operators in the cannabis supply chain, is how you bring your business back online. How do you get people back in the office? How do you get people back in the manufacturing warehouse, wherever it is? Wondering what the considerations are you see that people should be thinking about as people return to work.
No, it's an interesting topic, and it's a topic we've talked a lot about over the last couple months. And, you know, that conversation's evolved and different people have different perspective on it. Now, you have to start from the basic assumption and a basic foundation that you have to do what's in the best interest of your business and your employees and your employees' health, sort of putting both up there. And if you had to pick between the two, you have to always put your employees first if there's a health and safety issue. So how do you think about those things? How do you develop that? What protocols do you need to put in place? Social distancing, masks, sanitation of workspaces. You have to expect that no matter what the next normal or the new normal brings or how you integrate into it, that you are going to take one step forward and you might have to take two, three, four steps back, not because you made a mistake, but because nobody knows anything right now, right? And as long as you do things smartly and compliant with the law and you sort of respond to special needs within your business, which is what we've done, we've talked about that, right? How do you take the quote-unquote vulnerable population or people that might be married or cohabitating or have children that have conditions or issues physically? How do you address those things so that nobody needs to require people against their desires to be in a place that might be unsafe? So how do you read the room, so to speak? How do you provide opportunities to voluntarily come or not come? How do you create that cohesive structure and organization, which being in person does matter, guys. Let's face it. We can do all of this stuff online, and it matters. Seeing people's faces, and I hope in return seeing my face, although you know, that's marginally acceptable, that those things let people connect with each other more. I believe that's the case. But being in the same room with somebody, despite the fact we don't have to travel or drive or go to a different office for different meetings, all great things that I agree with you on, Donnie, and I think we've all experienced. But being face to face means something, and you know, that's the hard part. How do you facilitate that and keep your employees' interest at the top? and not do. You don't want to. You don't want to be seen as the person that's imposing things. I mean, Garrett, we talked about this for several weeks now. We don't know what's to come. We didn't know what was going to come. And when you're, you know, for example, who do you even look to? Do you look to the state government? Do you look to the local government? Do you look to our federal government? Do you follow the direction or recommendations of something like the CDC? How do you anticipate what information is the right one to believe and not be naive about it?
You know, I think the best word I've heard, and you know, I think it continues to be the case, is unprecedented, right? You know, we're talking about what will and is, you know, vast, quickly becoming a new normal. And so by virtue of that, you know, you have to be nimble, you have to pivot. That, you know, relates to how you run your business, how you treat your employees, you know, how you're mindful of your social consciousness, you know, as an employer and as a business within a greater industry. That also impacts, you know, how you operate your business, you know, how you generate revenues, how you're exploiting distribution channels and supply chain networks, and not exploiting in a negative sense, but, you know, rather optimizing it for purposes of running your business, and, you know, creating change that is functional, you know, again, focusing on your core competencies and the things that you're good at. You know, there's a lot of this sort of, you know, recalibration, you know, as just a general theme that, you know, this pandemic has and is affording folks. And I think you're going to see, you know, ideally, hopefully positive changes for how companies run themselves organizationally, how they treat their employees. I think you're going to see functional changes in terms of, you know, the buying and spending power of Americans and folks around the world. And, you know, conversely, then how, you know, companies are, again, you know, optimizing that supply chain and reaching out to their consumers increasingly more digitally.
Garrett, we talked about this, though. We talked about what is the ideal workplace, considering what's going on around us. Do things need to change? Do we need to adapt? Do we need to provide different style of working environments? And, you know, that's a decision we've talked about a little bit. But we're going to have to really focus in on, because, you know, this is a leased office space right now, right? So we come down to an end of a lease, and we need to make decisions. We want to make the decisions that's in the best interest, and certainly what's achievable and what creates just an optimal work environment. What does that 2023 workspace look like? What does it look like?
It looks different than this. It has to look different than this. But there is something, you talked about this earlier in a meeting today, there is that magic that happens when people are together, when energies are flowing, when everybody's looking at each other and reading each other's vibes. And that's duplicated in some respects on a Zoom meeting. It's there, but we've all been on Zoom meetings where, you know, you're there, but they're looking at a computer screen over here, and you don't have that attention, that command. So it's great to be back in this environment, but the world will definitely change. I read this morning that Twitter announced that all of its employees have an option or something to that effect of staying at home all the time.
Voluntary, all the time, yeah.
Right. So it is going to change. But I think that, you know, as we emerge from this, and we are doing something not our parents did, our grandparents, we're doing something that we're going to be the generation that defines what we did right now. And as we come back, you know, one of the things that we have to be, you know, compassionate to the people around us. There, we don't know who's dealt with it. We don't know who's dealt with it on a personal level, on a family level, children level, or living with high risk people. So we've got to treat every situation differently. But we also have to be mindful too of those, you know, as our clients are bringing people back, is they have to bring the people back that are going to continue to work. We have to change the work environment as we know it. In 2023, who knows what it's going to look like, but it's going to be different. And everybody's going to have to change and adapt and work in a different way than they ever have before, ever.
But just on that specifically, Garrett, what do you think? Are there offices? Are there individual offices in future work environments? Or is it, and by the way, just a quick aside related, I traveled to Toronto several times over the last couple of years for business purposes and spent a lot of time in the Deloitte Canada building in downtown Toronto. And that building, you know, over a dozen stories tall. I can't exactly remember how many stories it had, maybe double that amount. But the point is, there weren't offices, right? There weren't individual offices. For a company like Deloitte Canada, there was a sort of multi purpose room. There was a multimedia room, and there was a traditional conference room of all sizes. You had sort of, remember the old study rooms in law school or college where you'd get together, rooms that size, rooms with scientific capabilities to test materials and manufacturing capabilities, like really interesting, diverse. People would go in, and they'd reserve certain spaces to work on certain projects at a certain time. Even, I was told, executive leadership didn't have offices in the Deloitte thing. The Deloitte building. So I guess my point is I was exposed to it and I thought that was unusual, right? I see some merits in it now after going through these mechanisms, but do we have offices or is it something more akin to Deloitte Canada?
I certainly think we have at least some offices, right? I think that this will certainly spur innovation of some sort of or another. You know, I there's a number of companies, Twitter, I believe Facebook, Google, others have committed to, you know, working remotely for the remainder of this year. And I think that there's going to be a certain allure to that for some period of time. At the end of the day, you know, I think that it goes as the pendulum swings. You know, you have this traditional, conventional, normal, everyone gets their own office. Pandemic happens. Pendulum swings all the other way. Everyone works remote. And then guess what? By the time that pendulum ends up stopping from its swing, you're going to find yourself somewhere in the middle. And we don't necessarily know exactly what that is right now. You know, I try to, you know, think of it akin maybe to what you're saying about Deloitte, but even think about the evolution of real estate. You used to have these singular use, you know, parcels and developments of real estate. And now the biggest thing is mixed development, right? That's similar to what you're talking about that's occurring at Deloitte. I think you'll see that occur where you're going to have some, you know, specific office space, you know, some, you know, perhaps study room space, some, you know, mixed use space or bullpen type areas. I think a lot of, you know, companies have been innovating in that direction for some period of time, but we've also talked about this. You know, for example, as a law firm, lawyers are loud. They need their space sometimes, right? So you still have to, you know, provide some sort of environment for them to have their confidential and other calls. So I just can't see a complete cutting of the ties with all office space, but this, you know, as part of this recalibration, there's certainly innovation in, you know, curing inefficiencies, right? You think throughout your business, you know, we've talked about this in terms of, you know, budget cutting and budget evaluation, right? You know, trying to anticipate all these sorts of things. And it makes you realize through all of those exercises, whether you actually have to go through with those or not, where are the things that, you know, you have the opportunities to render more efficient? They're not things that, you know, you've necessarily had to address for years. It's been working, so why reinvent the wheel? But this is the time in which you start toying with those ideas. You start experimenting. You start innovating. And ultimately, you recalibrate to ultimately what we'll find to be our new normal.
Well, that sounds kind of like another silver lining in all of this is just that space for experimentation. But I want to end on this note, which is that we had Seth Adler on the Hoban Minute. And as we all, you know, as we think about what we're looking forward to the most about life regaining some normalcy, I remember Seth Adler said that Bob Hoban's smile in person was something that everybody needed to, you know, needed to get a piece of at some point. not saying that that's necessarily the thing I'm looking the most forward to, but I do remember Seth saying that, and I really enjoyed it at the time. But I'll put it to all of you guys. What are you looking forward to the most in a post-COVID world?
Well, I would have to agree with Garrett's sentiment. I miss live sports. I miss live music terribly. I miss, as Donnie, as we talked about, getting outdoors and going skiing. And we missed a great end of a season, by the way. Not to lament that, but it's a fact. Ultimately, I miss going out to dinner. My family and I were in a groove where we would go out to dinner, you know, quite often. Sometimes up to three times a week. And we really just enjoyed that. It was great. And we've also loved making dinner at home. But at the same time, it's just not the same as, hey, let's go out to dinner. There's something fun about it. Let's go out to eat as a family. So I miss that as well.
I think for myself, I'm looking forward to having some more childcare back in the day-to-day routine. That will certainly help ease things. You know, I certainly miss live sports. I miss the in-person interaction. You know, this has been a great opportunity to meet neighbors that I've not previously met with or spent a ton of time with. But, you know, just being intentional about that time, but also even with coworkers and other friends, having that sort of in-person interaction, you know, unfortunately, Zoom just doesn't cut it, right? You know, it's a adequate replacement, but it just is not the same. There's just something different about it. So I'm looking forward to some aspects of normalcy. I'm not saying we need to return to exactly the same normal, but, you know, to provide a little bit more of a routine rather than the same 20 square feet within your house every day. So.
Well, Bob already said it. I miss skiing the most. It was a terrible time to end a great season. That was it. I mean, and I look forward to returning back to life. I loved what we did. I loved being home. I loved this extra time with my kids. I loved being there to teach them. I will never, ever forget teaching kindergarten for the little bit that I got to do it. But I look forward to getting back out in the world, and I look forward to meeting with people and talking to people. I look forward to going out to dinners. I look forward to music. I look forward to the concerts. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I look forward to it, and I look forward to going to see the baseball games and traveling to different baseball stadiums around the country. So it's going to come, and I'm ready for it, but I look forward to it just the same.
No, well, it's been a pleasure to be here with you guys, and it is going to come. It's just a matter of time. Thank you for being here with us, and signing off.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Hoban Minute. Do you have any ideas for episode topics or guests? We would like to hear from you. Reach out to us at media@hoban.law, and stay tuned for more on the Hoban Minute.